Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to discover how to strive together with family unity. Genesis chapter 2 is our text. Here's Paul Chappell.
God developed this relationship for companionship. God intended for this to be a place and a way for companionship to be developed. Now, someone said many girls marry a man much like their father, and that's why their mothers cry at the wedding. I don't know if that's exactly true, but again, Adam and Eve didn't have human relations in that way. They were created by God. It was a unique relationship that was established by God for a purpose. Well, let's notice, secondly, God intended this not only to be unique, but He intends this relationship to be unifying. In other words, this relationship should build strength and hope and courage within our hearts. Now, the devil fights this every step of the way. It's so sad sometimes that within the confines of a home, there can be such insecurity and hurt and such feelings of separation, even though we live in close proximity physically to one another. But I want you to see that God intended unity, and I want you to notice, first of all, that we are to be unified through acceptance. Unified through acceptance. Now, verse 23, notice what the Bible says in this text. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, what you see there in verse 23 is the statement of a man really happy about his new bride. He says, if I could give the modern day version, whoa, praise the Lord, this is great. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He completely accepted God's gift. He didn't say, excuse me, Lord, concerning model A here, there's a few problems. We need to go back to quality control on this one. No, no, no. He completely accepted. She's now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Sometimes we wonder why there's not a growing love in our relationships, and it's because we are experts at conditional love. And when you love someone conditionally, you keep them feeling insecure, you know. Well, if my husband made money like Joe Smo, or if my wife looked like Sally Sue, or if, then, you know, we would. And you see, that is the opposite of what God shows us here. God says if you want unity, you've got to love and show acceptance for your spouse. Adam completely accepted Eve. She is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he gave to her that feeling and that sense of full love and acceptance. Now, fellas, the truth of the matter is that every one of us sitting in this room who are married ought to be thankful for our spouse and look for ways to let her know of our unconditional acceptance. And the truth is, most of us have married way over our heads. Some of you are also very stupid. Because when the pastor says you've married way over your head, that's a good time to just become charismatic right there. Let's try that again. Some of you have married. That means that you have married a wonderful woman. Some of you have married way over your heads. Amen. Good. You can have supper now. Whew. Man, I was worried for some of you. But somehow we as men can convey the idea that, well, you know, you're all right. You know. What's with men? You know, here we can stand in front of the mirror, 50 pounds overweight, our belly hanging out from our t-shirt, kind of look at ourselves in the mirror, flex a little bit, and go, hey, 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 isn't she lucky? And we'll kind of pick at her for the few things. Have you ever heard the old phrase, get the beam out of your own eye? But sometimes we're experts at, instead of building security, building insecurity. Sometime, fellas, you might just try something like this. You might just say to your wife, sweetheart, I want to tell you what, I'm thankful for you, and I look forward to growing old with you. And whatever you have need of, I want to try to meet that need. God has blessed me with you. Now, after she faints and you pick her back up, maybe tell her that again. What is that? That's complete acceptance. Adam completely accepted his wife. He didn't try to keep her guessing. He wanted her to know, you are my everything. I'm thankful to God for you. Now, one of the reasons that we should be able as Christians to give that acceptance is because of the fact that we are accepted. We are completely accepted in the Lord. Ephesians 1:6, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You, my friends, are completely loved and accepted by God just the way you are. Now, how many of you are thankful that you're saved by grace and accepted by God's grace? Are you thankful for that? How many of you are glad that God doesn't go, excuse me, Ralph, pew 12, row 1, seat 12? Ralph, you got angry this week. You kicked the dog this week. You are no longer one of my children. How many of you are glad God doesn't love that way? I'm thankful that I have the security of the believer. I'm thankful that I have the acceptance of my Lord. And God wants us to show that in our family. Some of you that every time there's a problem, you say, I'm going to call the attorney. First of all, you don't have an attorney, be honest. Secondly, if you have to go from zero to divorce every time you speak, it's like these heathen hoodlums who can't say two words without cussing. We need to get back to a spiritual level where we're not elevating everything to those levels, but where we can speak the truth in love. Okay? And so Adam completely accepted Eve because he knew the acceptance of God, and we should know the acceptance of God. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we are unified through acceptance. And accepting our spouse and verbalizing that builds unity. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Secondly, we have unity through purpose. Unified through purpose. Now, Adam had a great purpose in this matter of becoming one flesh. And the Bible teaches the purpose, we're going to see in a moment, is to the glory of God. Now, back in the early 90s, I was reading a lot of books about purpose statements, and we made a purpose statement for our church. We've refined it over the years. It's on the walls here this morning. Loving God, growing together, serving others. And most corporations have a purpose statement, and lots of churches do. The Lord put on my heart at that time, our kids were kind of elementary and junior age, and the Lord laid on my heart this simple thought that while I was so passionate about a purpose for the church, I ought to be passionate about a purpose for our family. So I began to study the scriptures and think through how could I simply state to my children what would be a spiritual purpose for our family. And I began to write some things out like we'd done for the church based upon scriptures that I'd studied. And I wrote this out. It's framed. It's in our living room today. It's a little piece of our family history. And it simply says, the purpose of our family is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through obedience to His Word and by edifying and exhorting one another. And we were up in a little cabin in Tehachapi that winter at Christmas time. Some snow fell down, and we had a fire in the fireplace, and we all signed that. I had even Matt, he could hardly write. He signed Matthew on there, you know, and didn't really know what he was signing. Could have been the Declaration of Independence for all he knew. You know, he was just, amen, Dad, let's sign it, whatever it is, you know. But over the years, in our family devotions and during situations, we'd say, hey, remember our family purpose is to glorify the Lord. Hey, that wasn't edifying to say that like that to your sister. Let's encourage one another. We want to have the right testimony. We tried to teach our children that we existed for a purpose, and it wasn't for ourselves, but it was for the glory of God. Well, did you know that God brought you together with your family for that same purpose? That God wants people to see your family and to see Jesus Christ in you. And I want you to see two thoughts on that. First of all, our purpose is to honor Christ. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We honor Christ by picturing Christ. Notice Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So the Bible says that as a wife is submitting to or supporting of her husband, and as a husband is loving his wife with a Christ-like love, I remind you, men, Jesus shed His blood for the church. That's how He showed His love for us. And the Bible says when there's this support and love, honor and encouragement type of relationship, people will see that in us and they will see Christ in us and they will be glorifying Christ, or at least knowing that it is because of Christ. And so unifying or unity in a relationship comes with acceptance, and it comes with purpose to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will elevate potential, eliminate potential conflict because we want to elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see this matter of marriage is a unique relationship developed by God. We see, secondly, it is a unifying relationship because of the acceptance that is given and because of the purpose that is being lived out. But let's close this morning with this thought. God says, I want marriage to be an unbroken relationship. An unbroken relationship. Now, would you look back at the Bible there, verse number 24. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In the New Testament, it says it this way, Mark 10:7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Notice this. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, at the wedding that we had here last Saturday for Laura Elliott and her husband Christian, as they stood here, I had the privilege of saying at the end of that ceremony, I now pronounce you man and wife. And at the end of that ceremony, I said these words, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Just challenging them with God's will for an unbroken relationship. Now, this is not to put someone into a spirit of grief or depression if you have had a broken relationship. It's just to strengthen the things that remain and to say that God's will is that we would be faithful to those values and to those commitments that have been made. And we do that in verse 24 by leaving father and mother, cleaving, as if to be permanently fixed, that word means, and then by weaving or by becoming one flesh through our relationship. Now, in your notes this morning, we'll not spend a lot of time on it, but I gave you five ways, five ways to respond, ineffective ways, that is, to respond to conflict in marriage. You see, even as I preach about unbroken relationship, how many of you believe the devil would like to break your marriage apart? And you've got to be careful how you respond to those challenges that come. Let me give you five things you do not want to do quickly. Number one, don't fail in acknowledging the problem. Don't go into denial like it's not that big. Make sure that you will deal with that problem. Don't cover it up like it's non-existent. 30 years ago, when we were first married, we knew we would be in ministry. I was already called to preach. And Terry and I made this promise that if we ever had significant marital problems, we would not let the fact that I was a pastor hinder me from going to counseling. We would not be filled with pride to that point. And thankfully, we've never had a crisis moment to that level, but I tell you, there have been a few times where we've sat down with folks like the Sists or the Rushings or some of those in our life and said, boy, we're getting pulled in every direction and we've got a lot of priorities and sometimes it affects our time together and our relationship. Help us with this. And I want to tell you, folks, don't sweep those problems under the rug and don't ever be too proud to call for pastoral counseling or to come forward at the altar or to say to your spouse, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Secondly, don't withdraw from real relationship development. Some people, their house is like a gas station. They pull in, they fill up, they leave. But God wants us to work for a real bond one with another, speaking the truth in love and putting away lying. Number three, don't keep score. A lot of times I've had ladies tell me something their husband did 12 years before that bothered them. And I want to challenge you ladies today, forgive your husbands. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say, but pastor, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I know that. None of us deserve to be forgiven. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I encourage you, don't keep score. Don't be a scorekeeper, be a grace giver. A lot of Christians are scorekeepers. God wants us to be grace givers. Number four, don't attack the person, attack the problem. Don't attack the person. Wives, you might say to your husband, sweetheart, I love you. I'm thankful I married you. I'm thankful for you. But when you come in 3 hours late, day after day like that, it breaks my heart. We've got to deal with that problem. You don't meet him at the door and tell him, you wretched, cheating, terrible, horrible, blankety blank blank, that's not a way to build unity in the marriage, right? You don't attack the person, you attack the problem, you see. And then number five there, I want you just to think about this. Don't allow anger to linger. Don't allow anger to linger. Neither give place to the devil. Do you see that? If you're here today and you're ticked off at your wife or husband and just letting that build and build, it's sort of like this. It's sort of like saying, hey, devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, rebellious one, come on into our house. Here, have a chair. It's like inviting the devil into your house. Don't give the devil a little room in your house. So how do we keep the relationship unbroken? First of all, God wants it to be unbroken spiritually. Letter A, spiritually. He wants us to be one in our faith. Did you know that here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we have never and we will never, by the grace of God, have a wedding where it's a saved person and an unsaved person? Because they're not spiritually together without Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about that. Look at that in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You see, you cannot separate growing in your Christian life from building a stronger marriage. Just being here today strengthens that. And so we really believe today that we must be one in our faith. We believe that we will be one in our future. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7 that we are heirs together of the grace of life. And that talks about our eternal life together. And I want to challenge you as families to grow together in the Lord. Sit together in church. Talk about the messages. Read the Word of God during the week. One pastor was out on visitation and he knocked on the door and a lady came to the door. She was shocked to see the pastor. Her hair was in curlers. She had her robe on. It was the pits. Her kids gathered around there. She didn't know exactly what to do. She looked at her son. She said, son, go and bring mommy the book that she loves to read so much. A few minutes later, a little fellow came back with the TV guide. Man, that just made everything worse. Hey, folks, you're not going to grow a strong marriage with HBO. You're not going to grow a strong marriage by knowing all 485 channels of cable. But you will grow a strong marriage by staying in this book right here. You will grow a strong marriage by growing spiritually in your faith. And then physically. God says that a marriage should be the place for physical relation. The only relationship on earth in which God condones physical intimacy is between husband and wife. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, 1 Corinthians 7, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. There are times biblically that we are taught to minister one to another and to meet those physical needs and to have that unity. And God says, I don't want that physical unity broken by infidelity or by unfaithfulness. I want you to keep that unity. And so this morning, I want to just speak for these final moments by way of a few questions for every one of us. Number one, do you as a single adult or a married person today recognize that marriage is unique and ordained of God? We've got to see marriage as high and holy and lifted up. We know what Time magazine says. They say it's not even needed anymore. But we've got to come to what the Bible says today. Secondly, are you experiencing unity in your family? Husbands, are you giving complete acceptance to your wife? Wives, are you giving acceptance? Are you verbalizing your love? And are you honoring one another? Do you have a purpose in your home to glorify Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this, are you unbroken spiritually and physically? Or is there someone that needs to come to Christ? Or is there someone that's been unfaithful that needs to repent of their wicked ways and come back to the Lord and to their spouse and be restored and let God put everything back together? And He can put things back together. You see, this is the day to say, Lord, I want to strive together with family unity with my wife. Now, if I was to take this bicycle right here and I was to say, Terry, I'll tell you what, we've got to have some time together. Why don't we take a trip and go ahead and spend some time on this bike and take a trip up to Mojave, just the two of us. And if I said to her, honey, I think we could get up to Mojave in about an hour or so. Now, first of all, that probably is not true. Secondly, that might be suicide. I'm not sure. I don't even know if we'd make it to the In-N-Out Burger on Avenue I, to be honest with you. That would be tragic because that's my first planned stop on this trip. But if we were to go as far as we could and Terry was on the back of this bike and she just, for whatever reason, was putting on the brakes and backward pedaling and she just thought it'd be fun to go side to side, shifting her weight and so forth. I'm telling you what, we would never get to Avenue I. We'd never get to Mojave. Because in order for this particular bike to work, you really have to strive together. You've really got to be both pedaling basically the same tempo. You've got to be working to go to the same location. You know what the Bible does for us this morning? You know what this whole service is all about? It's about getting all the family members on the bike, pedaling the same direction, going the same way. And the ultimate goal is not Mojave, it's the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, how's your ride? Wobbly? Broken? Are you on the side of the road? In the ditch? I don't know where your marriage is today, but I know that there's a God who has a design that still works if we'll follow His plan.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.